Wake up and go up. These are the twin commands given to us by Holy Scripture for this first Sunday of Advent, on which the psalmist sings, I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Going up to Jerusalem is not simply a metaphor like going up to Oxford is for the British. Jerusalem sits over 2,500 feet above sea level, even though it is only 33 miles from the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The holy city rises over the plains and is built on high places, like the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, and Mount Moriah. Pilgrims arriving from every direction literally had to ascend in order to go up to Jerusalem, and their destination was the highest point in the city, the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. But the prophet Isaiah knew that Jerusalem was meant to be the high place of worship and teaching, not only for the tribes of Israel, but for the whole human race. And so he wrote, in days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. In the fullness of time, Jerusalem and its temple were transformed from the place of worship and teaching for the children of Abraham into the same for all the peoples of the earth, when the Son of Mary was revealed to be not only the Son of David and King of Israel, but also the Son of God and the King of all creation. Christ's broken body, tortured to death and sealed in the tomb, burst forth from the grave, restored in the glory of the resurrection. And he was thus revealed as the true temple, the eternal high seat of God's glory, and the dwelling place of God on earth. And from that day to the last day, the Lord Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, the only place, a perfect sacrifice, authentic worship, and divine teaching. But before anyone can go up to Christ the true temple, he must first be awakened from spiritual sleep. Wake up! We shout at someone who has overslept. Stay awake! We urge anyone who is drowsy. And so St. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. In this passage, St. Paul uses two different images of being clothed, and both refer indirectly to holy baptism. Put on the armor of light, he writes, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrament of baptism is called, among other things, enlightenment. And during the rite of baptism, the newly baptized is given a candle bearing the flame of the paschal candle. That baptismal candle is then handed over to the new Christian with the exhortation, receive the light of Christ. The Paschal candle, in turn, is kindled from new fire in the darkness of the Easter Vigil. And as that pillar of fire is carried into darkened churches all over the world, a great confession of faith cries out, "The light of Christ." Thus, the armor of God is our saving faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that his gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. St. Paul then goes on, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." Remember that in biblical usage, the words flesh and body mean different things. The body is created by God and is very good. The body is an essential part of being human, and all the saints will exist for all eternity in their glorified bodies. But the flesh refers to that part of our bodily existence that is in rebellion against the law of love. The flesh rejects the Father's eternal plan of salvation. And the remedy for that rebellion is grace, God's free and unmerited favor by which we receive the gift of saving faith. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And now we see the full meaning of Paul's words to the Romans by reference to the grace of holy baptism, by which we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. But now we come to a deep mystery. If all the nations are called to the mountain of the Lord's house, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths, if Jesus Christ is light from light and true God from true God, then why do so many people still live in the spiritual darkness of unbelief, including so many of the baptized, and sadly, not a small number of the ordained? Why do so many refuse the gift of saving faith that clothes us in the armor of light? Well, there are many reasons why so few believe or persevere in believing, but one of the most important is this. We very often prefer darkness to light. And we like the dark because it gives cover to our sins. By some instinct of inner cunning, we sense that the more we know about God, the more accountable we are for our own conduct. The Apostle John explains the problem this way. "The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God." And here we learn the difference between the illusion of being woke and the reality of being awakened. Awakened to the full truth about God and man revealed by the Lord Jesus. The next time you meet a Catholic who has left the church, or hear someone say that they are spiritual but not religious, think of this distinction and perhaps try to explain it to them. The pose of enlightenment without the humility to be taught, and the fantasy of spirituality without the need for moral conversion, are consequences of our yearning for darkness in which to conceal our sins. And ironically, those who denounce Christianity as an ignorant superstition left over from the childhood of the human race, or as an expression of intolerant hate speech, usually think of themselves as both enlightened and liberated. but they are neither. Those who do not know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world are not enlightened. In fact, they are sleepwalking. And more than that, they are the walking dead because they are slaves to their own disordered self-love, as are we all, until we have been made a new creation in Christ. On the last day, when Christ returns as judge of the living and the dead, it is the sleepwalkers who will be wrapped in fear because living in darkness will no longer be possible. And that is why Isaiah bids us now to walk in the light of the Lord, and why the Savior commands us today, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. My friends, we wake up and go up to the Lord when we live every day in keeping with the grace of our baptism. This we do by submitting everything we are and have and do and think and say to the teaching and judgment of the Word of God, precisely so that we can be liberated to live in the light of faith. And when we fail and fall back into works of darkness, as we all do, then we can wake up and go up again by making a good confession in which the grace of our baptism is made new. Wake up and go up. We wake up when we accept the gospel in the obedience of faith, and we go up when we read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God in Holy Scripture. And having been awakened and lifted up to Christ by saving faith, then we stay awake by faithfully going to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day, by going to confession whenever needed, and by living the law of love, which teaches us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to serve those in need as we would serve Christ himself. And that is how we live a watchful life, not only in church during Advent, but always and everywhere. This is how we live an honest and upright life, fully awake in the light of the truth of God's holy word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ.